long tour. Last month we went all the way around the world, and next month we're going across Canada.
And the impact of Sesame Street in terms of...
Well, Sesame Street was a place that I could go and take the same positive message about Native American people to 72 countries of the world three times a day. They never stereotyped me. We did things about Native American culture. We also did things on breastfeeding, on sibling rivalry, on raising kids.
You had your son Cody on.
Yes, my son Cody was on, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a big grown-up guy now.
So... what do you hope to be doing now as you go on this tour, the message you're spreading? You were fighting the Vietnam War. You were blacklisted. We're now in the midst of, well, I don't know if we can count the number of wars we're involved with in the Middle East.
Yeah. I really am on a campaign to appreciate the good things that we have going on right now, which is really being awake. I have been to the Alberta tar sands where fracking, you know, fracking central. I've seen it. It's much worse than I could have imagined. I live in Hawaii. GMO is everywhere. They're spreading pesticides, spraying them all over us, and it's very, very serious. So thank you, people, for being awake. Please stay positive. Please put down violence. Step up. Learn alternative conflict resolution.
Buffy St. Marie, thanks so much for being with us. Canadian First Nations singer, songwriter, and activist. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Happy birthday to Mike DiFilippo. Thanks so much.
This is WHFR Dearborn. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal.
Poor Barack Obama. He's been making more flashy moves than an Olympic ice skater, trying to get Democrats in Congress to cheer his Trans-Pacific partnership. But instead, they're roundly booing him. The president is on such thin ice with this ponderous giveaway to global corporate giants that his appeals for support have turned desperate, including this recent claim that TPP is, quote, the most progressive trade deal in history. Wow, that's a low bar. Does he mean more progressive than the thoroughly regressive NAFTA? Or maybe he's comparing TPP to King George III's East India Trading Company, which was such a bully that it sparked the American Revolution. Indeed, Obama is trying some bullying of his own. He's pushing the lie that such Democrats as Senator Elizabeth Warren are lying when they point out that TPP would let foreign corporations sue the U.S. in corporate-run international tribunals to force our officials to weaken or kill laws that might pinch a corporation's profits. There is no chance, zero chance, of that happening, the president barked. But as he knows, it already has happened. In April, under another trade agreement, his own administration was directed by a WTO tribunal to change and essentially gut a U.S. food labeling law that has dramatically reduced the killing of dolphins by commercial tuna fishing fleets. Responding to public outrage over the mass slaughtering of the mammals, our Congress passed an effective dolphin-free law. But some tuna operations in Mexico complained that using dolphin-free nets hurt their profits. And the WTO ordered our sovereign nation to surrender our law to the dolphin-killing Mexican profiteers. This is Jim Hightower saying, by claiming that, quote, no trade agreement is going to force us to change our laws, President Obama is either lying or he doesn't know what's in his own agreement.
This is the new WHFR Journal. For Friday, May the 22nd, 2015, my name is Jay Koronek, and I'm here in the studio with John Conroy, our WHFR News Director. Happy Memorial Weekend, John.
Yes, you too, Jay.
Okay, whatever that means, we're going to talk about that in a second. I guess I wanted to put Jim Hightower on first, just because, of course, all the opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College. They don't tell us to say them. But some people have the idea that this show is a very liberal show. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. We're always supporting all the liberal causes, you know, like anti-hunger, anti-poverty, pro-education, pro-healthcare, you know, all those liberal causes. I thought I'd feature right at the outset a Jim Hightower spot in which he points out some not very nice facts about Obama. It's too bad, and my comment is too bad that Obama feels that this would be the cap on his 8 years as a presidency to get this TPP contract done, and it looks like fast track may be approved by the Congress, which means there won't be too much debate, and whether or not they'll finally have the votes, we don't know. Nothing good about the TPP. I happen to agree with Jim Hightower on that, except for a few businesses that will make even more profits, but take away some of our sovereignty and take away perhaps some of our clean environment, what's left of it anyway. And it's certainly been proven that these international trade pacts have not worked out the way anybody said 20 years ago, especially the one with Mexico, which Jim Hightower referred to. Well, but basically the show is about Dearborn and the surrounding area, topical news of the week with perspective and some alternative ideas. Ideas you don't hear on other stations. That's the reason we're doing this, and maybe while you're listening. Okay, Memorial Day. Well, I looked up all the holidays for this show. I seem to be going towards looking up what they really mean. Well, of course, Memorial Day, which is celebrated on the last Monday of the month, as decreed by the federal government in 1967. Is going to be this Monday, the 25th. And I know you know the answer to this, John. What was it formally known as right after the Civil War when it began?
It was known as Decoration Day.
Yes, right. To commemorate the Union and Confederate soldiers who died in the war. And by the 20th century, Memorial Day had been extended to honor all Americans who died while in the military service. So originally it was just about honoring the dead of the Civil War. I think Abraham Lincoln wanted it as sort of a come-together point for the country, to get past the all the deaths, all the dying, all the bloodshed of the war between the states, as it was called in the South. You know, they didn't call it the Civil War. I don't think there was anything civil about it.
No.
prove that to me. But it was the war between the states. I agree with the South. That's a more accurate term. And, of course, the northern states won. But a great number of people on both sides were killed. And it's still not clear to me, although it's easy to say that the war was fought, the North against the South, to stop the South's practice of slavery, to free the slaves. I don't think if you look at history, that was the primary reason in most people's minds. It was economic reasons, actually, and social reasons. South had a certain lifestyle, and also they were in favor of states' rights. We hear that a lot today, too. There's always a battle. I mean, when Rick Perry was still governor of Texas, or is he still governor? He's in his last term, if he is. He was saying, oh, we should secede from the nation because that federal government here forcing too many things on us, you know.
We want to be our own.
Yeah. So, I thought we fought a war about that, and it was kind of already decided that wouldn't happen. But it was a lot more than just freeing the slaves, and a lot of those reasons were not really good reasons for all those people dying, in my humble opinion. But read some really good history books on that one, not necessarily the ones they give you in school. Go a little more in depth. That's why we use the Bones theme for the show, you know, dig deeper. That's our second or third catchphrase here for the show, as we want people to do. Don't believe what John and I say. What do we know? No. We're quoting some other people, too, but don't take our word for it. Go beyond. There are a lot of opinions out there, and you need to sort them out yourself. Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day or Armed Services Day. Okay, Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving, while Veterans Day celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans. I assume also the ones that have died, but in any event. And Armed Services Day, well, that came together in 1948 after World War II, because it seems that each branch of military service in this country, the Army, the Navy, Marines, Air Force, they all had their own, they just picked days each year where they at least would celebrate themselves and hopefully others who had served with them, you know, and have some reunions or something at the Army base or Naval base or something. Well, after World War II, they decided, you know, all military service is equally good, even though the Marines, I think, still think that they're the best. But nonetheless, all the service is equally good. So we'll all have one day. And they did pick that day, and it was a couple weeks ago. And there were some observances locally. I know one that you went to, John. Was high school basketball games?
No, baseball.
Baseball games, yeah. But they did some special.
Northville High School last Saturday celebrated Armed Services Day with groups of veterans from all different wars throwing out the first pitch for some of these games. They had one game in the morning and one game in the afternoon. And there were, of course, booths from each branch of the service at the event. And as well as the Michigan military moms.
Well, at least people weren't out of town for that, you know.
No, they were. I mean,
when you're scheduling Memorial Day events, you never know if anybody's going to show up because it's a time to travel and you know, be together with family and so on. For example, we just got the announcement yesterday from the city of Dearborn helping out Amtrak to get the word out that the train day ceremonies at Dearborn's John D. Dingell it's not called a train station. It's an intermodal station, is canceled for tomorrow. They were going to have from 1 to 4 approximately a lot of people there to advise on traveling by train, and maybe they'll have some, they would have, well, not, it's not going to happen, okay? I think they didn't look at the calendar close. They thought, oh, the 23rd, there's no conflict with that, and then they realized that Memorial Day is coming really quite early this year. It's coming on the 25th, 5 days before May 30th, and sometimes that happens, the last Monday of the month, and that probably even a lot of Amtrak people wouldn't be available to be there to talk to you because they're on a trip, maybe on a train trip even, who knows. But so the Amtrak train day in Dearborn has been canceled. It may be rescheduled.
We'll watch for announcements.
Yeah, train day is not a federal holiday. It is whenever the local train stations want to do it. It is usually once a year. I know, I just was looking at something online. Chicago had their train day a couple weeks ago. And they got a big station, too.
Yes,
Union,
they do.
Union Station, yeah.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Me, too. Mm-hmm. The only station in the city. Well, anyway.
Okay. I was just noting that maybe Lincoln thought he was helping with the Reconstruction by naming Memorial Day.
Exactly.
As such.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to ameliorate the bad feelings.
Yep.
By the way, the history here is that the celebration in the South was not really very strong of Memorial Day after the Civil War. They saw it as a day that primarily was celebrating the victory of the North. So, in fact, some of the people in the South referred to Memorial Day as the Lost Cause Day, the day that they officially celebrate losing their cause of being, if you will, independent as states from the rest of the United States. So that's not quite, times have changed, and probably everybody is getting together, North and South, memorializing those who have fallen in battle, serving our country. And, of course, they gave the ultimate sacrifice, death. But a lot of people, I just want to say, are working hard, doing a good job in this country at non-violent activities, and they need to be memorialized, too. And all the time, I guess they are in their funerals, I don't know. But as I brought that up, I wanted to say that I do have a date now. Last week I mentioned about the death of Dale Van Dorp, who was known in Dearborn as the voice of Dearborn, but a major thespian in civic theater groups locally, and both at Henry Ford College and Players Guild and a lot of different recreation department and so on. Great actor, great director, great coordinator of productions, theater manager at Henry Ford here, and he was well liked by a lot of people over decades. And the announcement of his day of memory has been made at the very end of the article about his passing in the Dearborn Times Herald this Wednesday, and it's supposedly going to be Sunday, June 1st. At 1 o'clock. Oh, not June 1st. Wait. I think that's wrong. It's the 1 o'clock thing. I got confused. I think it's June 7th. Let me try. Okay, I wrote it down. Okay, I didn't write it down. Well, I wrote it down somewhere. Here it is. Sunday, June 7th. Okay. So everybody write it down. Dale Van Dorp at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, of course, in the theater, the so-called Guido Theater. That is... DVD Day. Dale Van Dorp Day. DVD Day. No, they're not saying that is. Although, wouldn't that be cool if all of a sudden the city council, just for one day, just 1 year, you know, as they have the memorial service, the mayor can say that today is Dale Van Dorp Day.
Well, he's got appropriate initials, DVD.
Right, you know. Yeah.
June
7th. June 7th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Guido Theater, Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, Michigan Avenue. And as I said last week, he didn't want a funeral or a memorial. So, still a little bit torn about that. And he spoke to me about it many times, way before he started his battle with cancer. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to honor his wishes and remember him for all the great performances, all the great teaching, all the great... interpersonal relationships among the college and community. You know, I know many people's grief they want to come and share it. It helps to, if you share grief, I think it makes it go away a little faster. Although I sometimes say a trouble shared is twice a trouble. So, you know, there is always a question there whether or not sharing your problems are really going to help you or anyone else, usually if you talk about your problems, then you can focus on them a little more and put them in the right place and maybe file them away nicely for future reference without having them, some sort of hovering negative feeling in the back of your head, you know, that's not, hasn't been dealt with. That's not good either. So anyway...
Mm-hmm. And we all have that in common, so it's something that we grow from and share. And it's sometimes someone has a different insight that could make you feel a little better about the whole. You know, it also happens to be it was the same week that B.B. King passed away. So it was two great folks in the music scene. You know,
and Dave Letterman
retired.
Yeah. Didn't die, but
no.
And John's going to also share with us this is Memorial Weekend at Henry Ford Museum, Greenfield Village, and they're going to have some special Civil War and Abraham Lincoln remembrance activities. If you want to sum some of those up for us, John?
Sure. There's the 23rd through the 25th is Military History Weekend at Henry Ford, and it's a weekend dedicated to the Civil War and the assassination of President Lincoln. It doesn't say much about reenactment itself, but it says...
I'm wondering, if that so-called Civil War muster is coming some other place this summer, or whether they're just having some people dress up and walk around. Obviously, Memorial Day does connect, because it first was officially, Decoration Day, but it first happened after the Civil War. So there is a Civil War connection there.
Sure. But there'll be a Civil War Resource Center. It'll be a gathering space where guests can check out a variety of artifacts from the era. And collectors can bring in clothing items and civilian and military from that time period. There'll be presentations about learn more about the chair that Lincoln was assassinated in at Ford's Theater. While the chair will not be out of its case, there will be plenty of information about it, including a lecture.
The big parade here in Dearborn, one of the largest Memorial Day parades in the country, will be happening again And it usually starts about 10 o'clock. Michigan Avenue is usually closed east of Greenfield, somewhere around there, to regular traffic. And the parade goes down to City Hall, which is at least the old City Hall, the former City Hall, art space. I don't think that area has changed any, primarily because there's a nice park area there. And they usually have the speeches outdoors in that park area surrounding what is now going to be Art Space's facility. I don't think they're doing so much construction that there's a problem there, but you know, I don't actually see a story about the parade in this week's papers. Oh. Isn't that strange?
Yes, it is.
There's a little story in here. I'm just going to review that because in my head I'm thinking, well, can they still do that? Well, anyway, yes, okay, page 4A. Well, the Dearborn Times Herald only does once a week, so 3A, 4A, here we go. Okay, here we go. Just make sure we got it all straight. Of course, it'll be Monday, May 25th. The funeral procession is going to be honoring the forgotten veterans to be laid with rest with military honors. And it'll begin at 9:30 p.m. and carry the cremated remains of the two veterans in a casket and horse-drawn caisson down the Michigan Avenue parade route. So we'll be Michigan Avenue, and we'll be on the east side of town, looks like. Military service honors will be offered for the men during a remembrance ceremony at City Hall Park. Okay. Not where City Hall is now, but City Hall Park, about noon following the parade.
And that ceremony is very close to the curb because I was there last year right at that park and didn't have to move at all.
Right.
Brought the caisson right up from the street onto the park.
And for those of you that expect, well, I'm just going to tune into my local public service cable television channels and watch the program, watch the ceremonies live on video, live. And, of course, CDTV, as it's called, the Dearborn Public Cable Television Facility, is Channel 12 on Comcast, Channel 10 on WOW, and Channel 99 on AT&T UVerse in Dearborn. But I want to tell you that the parade is not going to be presented live. I'm not sure if this is the first year or not, but it says that the parade will be recorded and broadcast at 4 p.m. on May 27th and 28th, 8 p.m. May 29th, 7 p.m. May, and so on. So they won't have it edited for at least 2 days, and it'll start at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, May 27th, and 4 p.m. on Thursday, May 28th, 8 p.m. primetime viewing, on Friday, May 29th, and 7 p.m. on Saturday, May 30th, and so on. Also, the show will be available directly from the City of Dearborn website, cityofdearborn.org, after they get it edited. So it will not be a live broadcast over the local cable access channels, as they used to be called. There will, however, be approximately a two-hour special show starting at 9 a.m. on May 25th, a compilation of activities in recent years, including the 2014 memorial service, the funeral procession and story on the Great Lakes Cemetery, a video tour of city memorials, and information on Red Cross Veteran Services and Ford Veteran Services. And there'll be some other pieces related to that, too, in that program. It's going to be on Monday at 9 and 11, and also at 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. So in other words, every 2 hours, for gosh sakes, starting at 9 a.m., every 2 hours, they're going to run the special commemorative show, but it won't have the 2015 parade. So if you want to, you know, see the parade, you want to be part of that memorial service, you're going to have to get out and come down. And again, the procession begins about 9:30, and the speeches, as they might happen, will be at 12 noon at City Hall Park, which it's still being called. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's Memorial Day for you. And we're just not sure there's going to be an actual reenactment of anything at the Greenfield Village, but there will be a special weekend. And, of course, their usual prices apply. That is a great nonprofit entertainment venue of all, with all kinds of things happening for, and it's great for the whole family. I do highly recommend, and I can. It's not a commercial because they're a nonprofit. I do highly recommend an annual membership, either as an individual or as a family. It'll be a lot less expensive. You can go as often as you want to for many of the special moments. In terms of Abraham Lincoln remembrance, it's been known for many, many years that somehow in the museum, they became the recipients of the chair that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in, was shot in at the theater by John Wilkes Booth. Still has some blood stains of Abraham Lincoln on it. Yeah. Lovely. Anyway, okay. So
I just wanted to say that regular admission to the Henry Ford is one price. There's no additional charge to go to the Civil War enactment events.
Right. You know. Yeah. Yeah. They don't. Yeah. They don't usually charge that even for special events. I don't think. I'm trying to remember. Sometimes in the museum they have very special displays, like on civil rights, Rosa Parks, and so on. But I think that was free. It just you had to still get admission to the museum. Mm-hmm. Okay. A couple late breaking stories here from pressandguide.com website. You'll probably see it in their Sunday paper, and do subscribe to the paper. We can't cover all the stories, and we can't stay in your face like a newspaper article can if you keep it out on your table for a while. You should subscribe to the Dearborn Press and Guide and the Dearborn Times Herald. They don't cover the same thing at the same time in the same way. They don't, which means everybody thinks, oh, there's only one kind of news, and there's only one way to do a story. Oh, no, that's not true. Not true at all. I mean, listen to the way we do stories on this show. Okay. First late-breaking story is AK Steel. And you might say, who are AK Steel? The AK Steel Corporation, that's the company that bought out the Russian company that had been here in Dearborn, Severstal. Remember them?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they sort of decided to sell because they had violated the Clean Air Act at their Dearborn, Michigan facility so many times. They were in a lot of trouble, and they didn't really want to pay the cost of having to upgrade their facilities at all. And so AK Steel, when they bought the plant at a fairly decent price, they took the all the violations and the upgrades as part of what they had to pay for. They knew that they'd have to pay for them. And the settlement is now $1.3 million for air violations at the Severstal Dearborn plant. And so AK Steel is going to pay, it's actually $1.35 million for past violations. And they're going to implement a variety of procedures to reduce future violations and install dynamic air filtration systems at the Salina Elementary and Salina Intermediate Schools, which is across Fernie Street from the plant. Now, I didn't even believe, I haven't been in East Dearborn that much, and I didn't even know that the two Salina schools were right across from the Severstal steel plant.
Oh, yeah.
With all these air violations. And now you can understand why people in that community were so upset for the last 10, 15 years, complaining, and even our Michigan Department of Environmental Quality was not able to get a final resolution. But when they came close to resolution, then Severstal just up and left. They sold it. But AK Steel is going to take care of that. And it's interesting that they're going to, of course, try to reduce future violations. But they're installing these special air scrubbing, as I call them, systems, air filtration systems, dynamic, not passive. Passive would be if you just put a filter in the ducts, in the ventilation. And I was going to use my duck joke, quack, quack. But you put a filter in the ventilation ducts, and that's passive. That's not that good. Dynamic means they're using electrostatic filters, something that's active at getting the pollution out of the air for the kids, for our kids. That's how bad the pollution is, folks. It's not just generally going into the air. The kids' schools are right across the street from the place. And somehow, I didn't even realize that, and I can understand why the community was so over there was so mad for so long about this. We're talking about our own health, and we're polluting ourselves, and it took this long to get things better. But good for AK Steel owning up to I mean, they knew what they were in for. This would be a required part of their purchase, is to pay these settlements and also to clean up their act and to make the air better for the kids. So that's a great story. Glad it finally happened. It's about 20 years too late, but still, it's something. Another sad closing. Let's see. Dio Van Dorp's death. B.B. King died. David Letterman retired. Okay. Richter Chalet in Dearborn. West Dearborn is closing at the end of this month, which is next week, Saturday. It says just this little story that Jody Rampala put on the Press and Guide website on Wednesday. A Michigan Avenue restaurant known for its German offerings is closing its doors at the end of the month. Marianne Richter, okay, that's where the name came from, announced the move on Facebook over the weekend. Of course, that's confusing. Are they moving somewhere else, or they've decided to make the decision, which is making the move? You make the decision to close.
Okay.
So it doesn't say that they're moving anywhere else. And Richter did say in the announcement, it is with great regret and sadness, to inform our patrons, customers, friends, after 44 years, we're closing our doors. And I know it was a German restaurant there before Richter's purchased it. Let's see, 44 years ago, would have been 1971.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing that in my head here. But I know my parents and I ate at that same location at a German restaurant back in the 1950s. We drove all the way from Flat Rock, Michigan, because it was known as one of the best German restaurants in the area. And there were several great German restaurants in Detroit then. Today, I'm not so sure. And still, I happen to know that it's been a tradition at a BMW dealership in Bloomfield Hills that they have sort of a customer thank you buffet dinner once a year, usually in early December, to thank their customers. And they close down the dealership except for this banquet, which is they put the tables right on the floor next to where the cars were in their dealer location. And they give a free meal to anybody that had bought one of their cars from them. This is not a reason to buy a BMW, folks. I'm just saying the owner, Erhard Dahm, D-A-H-M, came from Germany back in the early 1960s. And he was a Porsche automobile technician, service person. He did tune-ups. He was brilliant at it, apparently. And he was a sports car driver and aficionado. And he got the idea he wanted to have his own dealership, and BMW started making inroads into this country and offering dealerships. So he started that dealership. Well, my point is, he always chose the German restaurant in Dearborn, which later became Richter's, for that banquet. And so they didn't normally do catering, but they actually got some trucks together and they delivered this banquet for like 200 people to that dealership every year, because that was his favorite German restaurant in all of Detroit.
Wow.
I mean, he came from Germany, was a little boy, and he knew German food. And I'm just saying, folks, here's another tradition, a great tradition that we're losing in Dearborn. Now, of course, after 44 years, I mean, I think Richter's have proven themselves, and good luck on your retirement and all that. Thank you for all the great meals, and you only got a week check it out if you've never been there. It's true, they haven't fixed up the place inside too much, okay? It looks like a restaurant from the 1950s, actually.
Nothing wrong with that.
But it's very folksy and homey, and they got pictures of Germany on the walls, and really nice wait people, and some of the best desserts. I mean, great German food, but some of the best pastries, really delicate, flaky strudel. You know, some people think strudel is just wrapped dough. You know, it's not a pita, folks, with cherries in it. No, or apples. It is this flaky, flaky crust that melts in your mouth, and Richter's knows how to do that. They have a pastry chef there that is just one of the best in the whole area that you wouldn't expect of a family-type restaurant with reasonable prices. So, going to miss them. Going to try to get over there myself sometime in the next week before they close. I don't know what their schedule is. I don't have their phone number in front of me here, But they may not be open over the weekend because a lot of places are closed, at least on Memorial Day.
And where's the location, Jay?
Michigan Avenue, north side of Michigan Avenue, before you get to Telegraph. So it's east of Telegraph on the north side of Michigan Avenue.
Okay.
Should I say it's across from Bob Evans Restaurant? So.
Well, that's easy to know.
Yeah, right. But... Well, if they're not open, we can always go to Bob Evans, who doesn't have German food at all, by the way, folks. They don't know the meaning of that.
It's got good banana bread, though.
Yeah, it's American food. Yeah. It's not the same thing at all. So one of the best German restaurants in the area, Richter's Chalet, is closing. There you go. Okay.
Well, since we're talking about food, and we have a Henry Ford College event coming up May 28th, our Mediterranean International Buffet. Mm-hmm. is happening at the college at the 5101 restaurant from 11 to 1 on Thursday. Talk about menu of delicious things.
Yes, talk about it.
Yes, there'll be what they call salmorejo, crushed tomato and bread soup, grilled Greek salad, thin Neapolitan pizza, and, of course, tiramisu. Baklava and bread pudding.
So those are some
we're
toxic
working up
desserts,
our appetites as we speak right now.
Yeah, so. Let me have that sheet there. Yeah. Okay. This is a Mediterranean International Buffet, mm-hmm. which you know, the most doctors these days will say the Mediterranean diet, that's the healthiest. But not if you eat too much of the desserts, folks. tiramisu and baklava. And
It'll change your frame right away.
But the thin crust pizza, you know, thin crust pizza has one third the calories of the thick crust and probably tastes just as good. So I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff to try there. Now, they do recommend the cost is $14 a person. It is a nonprofit thing, but it's all you can eat, folks. That's what they call a buffet, you know. And it is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. next Thursday, May 28th, right here on Henry Ford main campus. It's called the 5101 Restaurant. Reservations are not required, but very much recommended. This is going to be one of those popular ones. There may be more this summer. We don't have a schedule on the other dates. So reservations or more information, here's the big number, 313-206-5101. And again, that's the nickname for the restaurant in the Student Center here at Henry Ford College, the 5101. So 313-206-5101. Make reservations, maybe even now. You can leave a voicemail message, who knows, for the Mediterranean International Buffet next Thursday from 11 to 1 p.m. Fun time of stuffing our faces will be had by all. Some great, great stuff here. And of course, it's Mediterranean, not just Italian. You know, folks, it's all the way to Greece and the Middle East because they got stuffed grape leaves, grilled Greek salad, marinated beef salad, one of my personal favorites. Great soups, Moroccan chicken.
Yes.
That's Morocco. Isn't that the west side of the Mediterranean? Yes. So they're covering the whole Mediterranean, except for Spain. They didn't go out north into Spain, I don't think. But and the made-to-order pasta station. Did you mention that?
No, I didn't. But
made-to-order pasta. You can choose Alfredo, pesto or tomato sauce with sausage or with pulled chicken. Yeah. Ouch. Pull that chicken. Ouch. you can have pasta. Or probably the noodles are the same, but, you know, the sauces and the sausage or the chicken if you want it. And then arancini, that's crispy risotto balls filled with mozzarella cheese. Oh, my gosh. I don't think that's on the Mediterranean diet either.
No.
that could be contagious there. But,
Come to Dearborn and eat well next week. For sure get a chance to get to the chalet as well.
Yeah, Henry Ford College is open Monday through Thursday, although our admissions, our welcome center, people thinking of enrolling, is also open on Fridays, I'm told, although I haven't checked their schedule. And this is only Thursday. I mean, sometimes they have the buffets on Wednesday. This is only Thursday next week.
And not at night next Thursday.
No, not at night.
Just the daytime.
Right. So come on down, as they say. Okay. And next, there was something, was it related to food? Something, we're always looking for segues in the radio run to something else here. I'd like to do Jack Lessenberry's editorial, but we'll save that big punchline. President Guide from last Sunday. on the front page talked about Dearborn Heights. They're having a special event tomorrow called Light the Night. And one would think that that was going to happen at nighttime. But no, it's during the daytime. Here's the story anyway, folks. Okay. Community is invited to Light the Night kickoff. Okay. Purpose of Light the Night is to bring awareness to crime prevention throughout the city. This is Dearborn Heights only. The kickoff is set for 11 a.m. So Light the Night starting at 11 a.m. May 23rd at Daly Park. That's on Westlake between Hopkins and Lehigh. Lehigh. And they, you know, so look that one up. Call somebody into Dearborn Heights and ask them where the heck that is. Of course, Dearborn Heights is closed today and tomorrow, so you can't call the city hall. But maybe someone, fire department, they must be open, or police department, they're sponsoring it. Call the police department if you don't know where it is. But especially for people in Dearborn Heights, a community event for all residents, service clubs, businesses, churches, scouts, and neighborhood associations. Corporal Mark Perinello, who's Dearborn Heights Crime Prevention Officer, has a reason, and that is probably the only one, too. But they have a small force.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, wouldn't it be great? I mean, just think of it conceptually, if every officer, every police officer was a crime prevention officer.
That'd be great. Oh, yeah.
But not like in the movie Minority Report. Did you catch that movie?
Nope.
Tom Cruise, I think, was in it. Science fiction movie about the future where the artificial intelligence computers are so smart that the police have a special task force that goes around arresting people before they commit a crime.
Oh, they anticipate, in other words.
Even if those people hadn't thought about it themselves, the computer says they're probably going to do it.
It's going to happen.
So you might as well arrest them now. Even though they haven't thought of it, they haven't planned it, they didn't organize it, they didn't buy the bombs, but go ahead and arrest them now. And sort of cautionary tale, I think, for the future, because with the surveillance that's going on in our country right now, the NSA, National Security Association or Agency, looking at all of our emails and text messages and phone messages and internet browsing.
National Security Agency. There we go.
Yes, yeah. National Security Agency. And they're... You know, they're still doing it, folks. I mean, they might pass some bills against that, or they might not reauthorize the Patriot Act this week in Washington, D.C. They're so busy worrying about TPP, they may not get the Patriot Act reauthorized, although they could always reestablish it, even if it is out of action for a couple days. They were thinking of something like a, well, not quite so invasive Patriot Act to replace it, but most people say just get rid of it. Most people that I know and... libertarians and conservatives and so on. In fact, Rand Paul, running for president as a Republican, he was part of a three-day filibuster in the Senate, U.S. Senate in Washington, D.C., to sort of hang up, to stop business in the Senate so that, you know, they wouldn't get much done and maybe they'd push through the TPP, but there wouldn't be time enough for the Patriot Act. So they're trying to delay things by filibustering because he's totally against the Patriot Act, which is a misnomer. It has nothing to do with patriotism. It takes away our basic freedoms that this country was founded on, folks. So, and, you know, that's the fact that you can look up if you want to. Anyway, just flip-flopping back, we got to the movie Minority Report, which was quoted just recently several times in terms of people taking these little text messages and acting on them. Even a Facebook post about, you know, you think the president should die or something, might get a SWAT team at your house within 20 minutes. I'm not joking. I've seen several reports where this kind of monitoring is going on, whether it's a national security agency or whether they send this lead from the NSA to the police department or whatever. Mm-hmm. You've got to be really careful what you tweet and what you put on Facebook. I saw last week that President Obama is the first president to tweet. He just got a Twitter account.
How wonderful.
And that's exactly what I want my president tweeting. Don't you, John?
I can't wait to hear.
The world is falling apart, and there's all a need for major programs to be either eliminated or redone or reinstated or, you know, reestablished or established for the first time in this country. And he's busy tweeting something less than 140 characters. I don't want somebody except maybe a true poet, who can do 140 characters and make some sense or make some meaning. I don't want that. But so he's got a Twitter account, because what kind of person would he be if he doesn't tweet? Yeah. Well, anyway, so fun. I said 11 a.m. is when I kick off this party, Light the Night in Dearborn Heights, there at the Westlake, Daly Park on Westlake between Hopkins and Lehigh. And I'm sure it'll be great fun. It doesn't say when it's ending, though. So might go all the way until the evening, the way things are going now. But I think crime prevention, what a concept. I think it's a great idea, except for that AI computer, you know, making decisions on who's going to go to jail before they've even done anything. Yeah. So, okay. Let's see. Light the Night actually started by asking residents to leave their porch lights on at night. This has been proven to deter crime, said Lisa Hicks Clayton. Leaving the porch light on overnight cost about $10 to $15 annually. But you can get those little squirrely bulbs too,
savers,
the fluorescent ones. Yeah,
energy savers. Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend keeping a regular bulb on that much. If everybody in the whole community does it, that is a tremendous waste of electricity. But if that defers criminals, I don't know how you could prove it, really, because crime is decreasing all the time everywhere, even in Detroit, all across the country. If you think, oh, crime is everywhere, it's out of control. No, it isn't. There's less and less major crime and minor crime, according to Police Chief Ron Hadid, who was on from Dearborn here on this show a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it's down. I mean, they're ready for the next apocalypse. You know, they got their tank ready, and it's going to be in the Memorial Parade, he said. But, you know, the crime is down everywhere. So you really got to leave your light bulb on. Anyway, it's good to be organized. Community associations, keep in touch with neighbors. Watch out for people's homes in your neighborhood. Or let the police do it if you're going on vacation or something.
Neighborhood watch groups are always
absolutely
very popular.
So that's really good. In fact, I saw something else, and I'm not sure if it's happening this week or next week in Dearborn Heights, and probably be in the paper again. But it's actually one day when the police department is having a meeting. Everybody in Dearborn Heights, come on down to the auditorium and ask us questions. Wow. I mean,
obviously we're safe enough to have
with everyone. I get the you know, the chief of police of Dearborn to come on the show, but I can't ask all your questions. And I think that's great. Now, I do know that they send officers to a lot of the association meetings around town, the community, the area neighborhood association meetings, usually once a month, and that they do have officers that and the chief that just go around to these. And of course, rather than one larger meeting, the smaller meetings are more conducive to more discussion. Like people feel more open to ask questions. So,
like a liaison type function happens like that.
So nothing wrong with that. Okay. So anyway, Light the Night starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow at in Dearborn Heights. If you're in Dearborn Heights, maybe you want to check it out. I don't know how long it's going, but okay. And let's see here. You mentioned the Spring Festival. Thank you very much. Do you see that Oakwood Hospital that I mentioned last week, although it was about a 3 or 4 week old story, that they had to pay, was it $21 million or more?
To name them, put their own name.
Anyway,
to be renamed as Beaumont all around.
Well, that's the news story. The old story was that they mistakenly did brain surgery on somebody that didn't need it. They were in for some other surgery, and so they had a huge settlement. Was it?
$21 million, I think, was
$21 million,
the number,
But that person's dead now, so it's going to the family. So maybe just to take the stigma away from Oakwood killing people in the surgery room, they did market research here that people recognize the name Beaumont better than the name Oakwood.
Oakwood.
Even in Dearborn. So, in fact, I went through 4 or 5 emergency visits 2 years ago for a single health problem that nobody could discover. And the best treatment I got was at Beaumont Hospital out in Royal Oak.
Ah.
You know, just off Telegraph. It's Telegraph and whatever it is, that street there. Anyway, I mean Telegraph, Woodward and something. And boy, were they great. Were they modern. They didn't find the problem either, but I felt a lot better the next day. But then I felt worse. But nonetheless, in Oakwood, they admitted me 3 times out of 4 Oh, I went five times, including the one at Beaumont, and couldn't find anything each time that was wrong. But I was still dying, I thought, and it wasn't good. And well, anyway, I'm here today.
You're hale and hearty today. That's what counts.
They threw some drugs at me and did a couple operations, and who knows what it was exactly. But luckily, I'm still alive. So in my head, yes, the name Beaumont is a lot more positive than Oakwood. Also, maybe because, and people do die. I mean, it happens, and they often die in hospitals. But that's not usually the fault of the hospital. Almost always not the fault. Okay, did I get that right? I don't want to be sued by anybody, Oakwood or Beaumont here. But an awful lot of my own family, personally, from this area, have died at Oakwood Hospital in Dearborn. So it has a negative connotation in my head anyway, but not because of anything they did.
Yeah.
Necessarily, that I can prove in court. But Beaumont, great name, great organization. We'll see if expanding out and merging is going to help service. Just making your corporation bigger doesn't necessarily make it better in terms of service to the clients, and that's the patients in this case. But let's hope for the best. And end of June, they're actually going to take the names off the Dearborn and other Oakwood hospitals. And
There's one in Trenton down by us, Oakwood South Shore, that'll be called.
In Dearborn, it's going to be known Beaumont Oakwood Campus.
And they'll still have the Oakwood name somewhere in the...
Well, the word Oakwood will be attached to at least the one in Dearborn. As Beaumont Hospital Oakwood Campus will be what we now know as Oakwood Hospital. So tell the ambulance driver to go to Beaumont, the nearest one, and they should know where that is when the time comes. But if you say Oakwood Hospital... Where is that? Somebody new, a newbie at the ambulance service, you know.
Specified Dearborn or Trenton or somewhere else.
Yeah, something like that. Well, that's important to know. Yeah. We have a couple of opinions here. He's becoming an op-ed person. Reagan Ford has an op-ed in the Dearborn Press and Guide from Wednesday. Let me find it. Oh, I got it. Okay. On page A4, and I swear, John, something happened. A4 used to always be the page where the editorial opinions were, both of the paper and from the community, and also letters to the editor. And in this case, page A4 from last Wednesday has a commentary from Reagan Ford, and of course he's a Dearborn resident, but he's also president of the Southwest Outer Drive Neighborhood Association. He's also on the Rotary Club Board of Directors. He's written several little essays, opinion pieces here, and that's all great. He's also, I know, a supporter of the Dearborn Pools.
Right.
He got, he got involved with that.
That's in the column. Yeah.
Right. But he points out this time that well-rounded students need more than classroom education. So they need to know how to do service in the community. And, of course, his own group, the Rotary International, they're a service organization. They try to engender that kind of service attitude, not only among their own members, but also in students. Seems I had in high school, I had a scholarship to attend a Rotary event, which was then called, and this is back in the 60s, it was called Boys Town.
Boys Town, yeah.
Or something like that. It's not like the movie Boys Town with Spencer Tracy or whatever. Mm-hmm. It something like Boys Town. It was at Michigan State University, and it was only for boys, so that's why they might have discontinued it. But you live in one particular dormitory that they vacated from regular students, and for a week, you would organize your place as a city, and try to elect a government. And at the end of the week, you'd have elections, and people would be elected. Of course, then the week was over, they had nothing to do but go home with the fact that they were the mayor of whatever it was called. Boys Town, Boys City? I probably have that wrong. Well, anyway, it's a great learning experience, and I think it was in student council. I was a senior class president, and this was a great time to see politics in action, which is a pretty dirty business, let me tell you.
Sometimes they're called legislative assemblies, where you are given a topic to work on for all the different groups work on, as well as politics about electing people for the next year.
It's a simulation, but it's a real world sort of simulation with intense interaction. I remember there used to be a UN conference that was happening at, I think, Hillsdale College, in fact, for many years. And when I was in high school in the 60s, we took a team there, and each high school was given a country to represent. So I remember the last one, I think I went twice, the last one we got to represent was Israel. Well, everybody hated us, of course. You Jews, of course, none of us were Jewish, but nonetheless, we tried to, in all the legislative matters, take the position of Israel and learn the reasons why Israel was saying the things it was saying. And as I said, we lost the argument most times, but it was very interactive. I think it was a weekend. It wasn't a one day. It was a weekend sort of thing, and it was very, very useful. Well, I totally agree with Regan Ford on the idea of getting experience of all kinds. I know always talk about my daughter, but in Southfield, her middle school, they've just discontinued the farm. They had an actual teacher assigned, and they had programs integrated with their science department on growing crops, planting things, taking care of planting crops. They had a small greenhouse set up for getting crops started earlier in the year, and then attending the outdoor garden, which was actually food, not just flowers. And they didn't have any money, so the heck with that. Just go buy your food shipped in from Latin America or California before they're out of water in California, and don't worry about learning how to raise your own food, which is crazy. It's one thing you definitely should do, folks. And it doesn't hurt to learn it in the schools. I'm still amazed that the course I took in high school, for several years, we had shop class. Do you ever have shop class?
Sure.
Where you learn how to work with tools, woodworking, metalworking tools, and even a little bit of electronics, how to repair an electrical lamp, how to do the wiring simply, always turn off the fuses, turn off the circuit before unplug everything. But I'm telling you, that has really, I mean, some people used to, wow, what a handyman you are. You can really fix things around the house. I just had a couple of shop classes, that's all. But if I wouldn't have had them, I would have never known. Yep. I think I'm going to attend a seminar at Home Depot? Not me. No. And so it's really a good experience. I didn't take it. But because in those days, when I was in high school, the guys took the shop classes and the women took home ec.
Home ec, that's right.
Home ec. Yeah. Home economics, which in other words was how to cook. Because that's what women had to know. Well, I was so mad then because that's what I wanted to learn. How do I feed myself? How do I make food?
Yeah.
That would seem even more important than fixing a light socket, you know, or a light switch, or building a birdhouse. So there are some really survival skills like that. Oh, and the other thing was I had a personal finance class in high school. Personal finance. So I learned about checkbooks and banking and even investing in the stock market. They don't do that these days. And my daughter went through Dearborn School. She didn't even know how to open a checking account, much less what the heck it was or what features there were. I steered her towards a financial institution I thought was preferable. It's crazy. So a lot of basic skills and the direct experience should be included in the educational system, and it can be. So just extending that a little bit there. Well, with 3 minutes to go, Highway 61 with Joanne Korchinska should be on its way pretty soon. Joanne is moving close to the building now. I feel it in my heart. We'll be here real soon. Last but not least, John, did you have a final story? I thought I'd share some of the story from...
want to talk about our event coming up.
Okay.
Next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 29th, 30th, and 31st, will be the Island Fest on Grosse
Isle. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We are... it is a three-day event where we have live music, great food, many, many booths, high school groups performing, a parade on Saturday, steak fries on Friday night, Saturday night, sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, as well as a pancake breakfast.
Some sort of Main Street down the middle of the island?
Well, no, it'll be at the airport.
At
the Gros Isle Airport on the southern, very southern part of the island.
So they're not going to have any planes land at that time?
No, not at that time, but we will have helicopter rides that will go up in the air.
So it's 3 days?
3 days.
And wow. Admission price?
No admission price at all.
Maybe for the helicopter ride, though.
No, not even for the helicopter ride.
Oh, my gosh. The lines will be starting right away. So it's next weekend, folks, not this weekend.
Right. Next weekend, there'll be a carnival for the kids as well, and there will also be a race car company out there showing, giving simulated race car situations for people who do pay for that. But there's a plethora of activities happening next weekend. And
plethora, I love that word.
It'll be a good time.
Plethora, yes. Well, that's Gros Isle for you, folks. Always something fun happening. How about that bridge work? You said there's a construction going on one of the two bridges to the island?
Right now, well, there's some bridge work, but there's the bigger problem is the barges, the liners, ocean.
We talked about that, yes.
The coal carriers are coming through.
The big freighters.
Big freighters are coming through.
Big freighters, yeah.
And when they come through, you're going to wait for a while before
they don't
through.
Go too fast.
That's for sure.
And that's the problem with both of the bridges, isn't it? The north and the west.
Whichever way they come, you know, they're going to pass through one way, but both bridges, if they're coming from the south, they come there first.
And the Gros Isle festivities next Saturday and Sunday, Friday too, right? When do they start? Is it Friday? Friday's usually they start later in the afternoon.
Friday afternoon,
right?
Yeah, mid to late afternoon, and then Saturday all day and night.
Mm-hmm. Great.
With fireworks as well, and then when it gets to dusk, and Sunday is pretty much over by 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay, you know? Good to mention that.
Yep.
It's WHFR Dearborn you're listening to. We're going to finish with just some comments from Jack Lessenberry from the Press and Guide. He has an op-ed piece there this week. John is going out to help Joanne open the door because the building is locked. We always try to facilitate movement back and forth here. It's called the buddy system at WHFR. So we got to be buddies to each other in these troubling times. Well, Jack Lessenberry says this, and he's not always positive, but this is what he says. Here's some news for you kids. The folks running Michigan's government, the legislature at any rate, couldn't care less about you or what you need and want. They don't have to. They've rigged the system so that you normally have little to say in who's elected. Thanks to term limits, they can stay just long enough to find themselves a job working for a lobbying firm or some other special interest. They do that by working hard against your interest and those of the public in general. Take a creature named Paul Opsomer, Republican from DeWitt in Michigan, for example. During his 6 years in the Michigan House of Representatives, he slimed his way into becoming head of the Transportation Committee. While in that job, he did his not-on-the-level best to do everything he could to prevent a new bridge across the Detroit River. He got his reward as soon as his last term ended, and he was out of office in 2013, a job working for the holding company that owns Matty Maroon's Ambassador Bridge. Who needs ethics? Asks Jack Lessenberry. Thanks to gerrymandering, most seats are completely in the hands of one party or another. State Representative Brian Banks, a Detroit Democrat, has 8 felony convictions and is facing a lawsuit for allegedly sexually harassing a male staffer. But he was cheerfully reelected last year. Most of the benefits of corrupt